The Bible is full of accounts of conflict. Seems like every page has some war or some dispute, some tension. And I mean, we realize this if you read the Bible at all, and it's in all the readings, but it still might take us by surprise because we think, well, God is a God of peace, harmony. His creation is orderly, and he wants everyone to live in a harmony. But it's just not like that. And we've seen enough examples of it in the past few days. Last week, we were pondering Jesus' conflict with the Pharisees. And that came up again on Sunday. Remember, the Pharisees accused Jesus of breaking the law. And then Jesus accuses them of being hypocrites about the law. Definitely in conflict. Yesterday, Jesus, in the gospel, Jesus went to his hometown and they kicked him out. Today, Jesus goes to Capernaum and he kicks out the evil spirit. So in the conflicts in the New Testament, Jesus is in the middle of it all. Even though he's the Lord of peace and security, if you want to say peace and security, the day will come upon you with like a sudden disaster, according to today's first reading. We don't have peace and security. Not in this world. We have conflict. Even among the apostles, they're always squabbling with each other. Sometimes they're opposing Jesus. You know that passage where Jesus says, you think I've come for peace? I haven't. I've come with a sword, come for division. Well, we have to think about this a little bit because it's certainly part of today's readings. What's going on here? In the first reading, this is from 1 Thessalonians again. Now we're up to chapter 5. Paul says, you don't have to be told about what's to come. You know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. Well, that's not a very appealing image, that a thief is going to come in the middle of the night and take us by surprise. Just when people are saying peace and security, then sudden disaster will come upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I always get a kick out of that example, because a pregnant woman isn't taken by that much surprise. She knows for a long time that the birth of the child is going to come. And everybody keeps saying to her, oh, when are you due? When are you due? So she can't, I mean, I know you hear stories about women taken by surprise by giving birth and they didn't even know they were pregnant, but most women know that the day of birth is coming. So the labor pains might come by in a surprising way, like a thief at night, but not that much of a surprise. Anyway, St. Paul says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then in the next paragraph, he says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness for that day to overtake you like a thief. So first of all, he says it's going to be like a thief. And then he says, but it's not like a thief, because you are children of light and of the day. So the conflict is not as arbitrary as it might seem or as sudden. It's a conflict between light and darkness, between day and night. And those who belong to daylight won't be taken by surprise. We know, just like a pregnant woman knows, we know that a time of fulfillment will come. I suppose if a woman doesn't want to have a child, then that day she would dread it. But most women, they want to have a baby. And so they say, they kind of look forward to having a child. And that's what we're supposed to be like. We should be looking forward to the coming of the Lord. We're looking forward to the coming of this thief. It's a positive thing. Even if our nature has some resistance to it, we know it's good for God to come and for him to work. Well, we see this tension come up in the gospel. Jesus shows up in Capernaum. He goes to the synagogue. And there's a man with an unclean spirit there. And this unclean spirit acts as if he's being suddenly attacked by a thief. What are you doing breaking into my house? Is the reaction of the evil spirit. What are you doing here, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Have you come like a thief to steal what belongs to us? Jesus doesn't say yes, but the answer is yes. Yes, I've come to destroy you. I've come to overcome your kingdom, to overthrow your reign, and to establish the kingdom of God. But Jesus doesn't bother explaining it to him. He just says, get out. And the spirit gets out. He leaves. This passage brings to mind the study we made last week of Pope Francis's catechesis on the Lord's Prayer. We were reading his reflections on the part of the Lord's Prayer where we pray, How does it go? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. So it's all about holiness. Hallowed is holiness. So may the holiness of your name reign over us. May the holiness of your name, may your holiness flood the world. When we say hallowed be your name, we're opening ourselves to this holiness of God. And the Pope, in describing that, spoke about God's holiness as a force, an expanding force. Let me read to you his words again. This is from his catechesis on Hallowed Be Thy Name. God's holiness is an expanding force. And we ask that the barriers in our world be quickly broken down. When Jesus begins to preach, the first to pay the consequences, or we might say suffer the consequences, are precisely the evil spirits that afflict the world. The evil spirits curse. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Well, that's exactly what we heard in today's gospel. So the Pope is saying, Jesus, simply by being here, threatens the evil spirits just by preaching. He doesn't even have to tell them to get out. They're already feeling the expanding force of holiness, and they feel threatened. So here's the reaction of the evil spirits. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Holiness is afflicting us, they say. Such holiness had never been seen before. Not concerned with itself, but radiating outward a holiness, that of Jesus, that expands in concentric circles as when one throws a stone into a pond. The evil one's days are numbered. Evil is not eternal. Evil can no longer harm us. The strong man has arrived to take possession of his house, and this strong man is Jesus, who gives us too the strength to take possession of our inner house. That's Pope Francis talking about what's going on here. What's this conflict that we hear about all the time? Well, it's the holiness of God overwhelming, overturning the power of evil. Someone stronger than evil comes along. So much stronger that all he has to do is say, be quiet, come out of him, and the evil spirit leaves. That's why I said, I don't know, a couple of days ago, that the ripples in the pond of holiness are not just little waves from a stone. They're more like tsunami, a tidal wave. So much holiness that it wipes out everything else, or it has that power. Now, if we are clinging to darkness, then that holiness is very unsettling. It's very threatening, frightening. It's like a thief stealing something that we're clinging to. But if we are children of light, if we are dedicated to God, to goodness, to truth, well then, we ride the wave. It doesn't overturn us. This is the very power that we want to reign in the world. So in the conflict, there is a conflict. There's no doubt about it. There's a warfare. The question is not whether there's a conflict or not. There is. But the question is, well, which side are we on? Light or darkness? God or evil? If we are on the side of God, and that's the decision we have to renew every day and many times a day, but if we're on the side of God, well, then we won't feel so threatened by all the evil around us, because we'll know that evil is not eternal. It can no longer harm us. Not in the deepest sense. Yes, evil can harm us in the sense it mess up our life. It can take away our money. It can injure our health and, you know, cause us lots of problems. But all those things are temporary. In the long run, light is so much more powerful than darkness that there's no contest. Light makes darkness dissipate. So our confidence is expressed by today's psalm, beautiful Psalm 27. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Am I supposed to fear the thief? Am I supposed to fear evil? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? So depending on which side we're on, we should know whether we should be afraid or not. But those who are children of light do not live in fear.